This morning in Houston, the casket of former President George H.W. Bush was readied for a special flight to Washington on Air Force One. The former president's casket will sit in the Capitol Rotunda for public visitation today through Wednesday. His funeral will be held Wednesday at the National Cathedral. He'll be buried on Thursday in Houston at his presidential library on the campus of Texas A&M University, next to his beloved wife Barbara and their daughter Robin, who died at 3 from leukemia. He was a son of privilege who jumped at the chance to serve his country, a World War II combat pilot who was shot down, a UN ambassador, envoy to China, CIA director, vice president under Ronald Reagan, then 41st president of the United States. So what to make of this life? Julian Zelitzer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton, is here. Julian, an amazing life. We can start there.
Absolutely. This is someone who committed himself to public service and served in a variety of very important roles, from his time in Congress to his time with the Republican National Committee to his time in China and the CIA, ultimately to the vice presidency and the presidency of the United States. So he really moved through the different parts of our government and was involved in many major issues as president that still live with us today.
And as in most lives, it was served with dignity, but also with flaws, and people are making the list. You know, he's credited with helping Gorbachev end the Cold War, credited with assembling an international coalition to fight Iraq's Saddam Hussein after Iraq invaded Kuwait, but then criticized for not further going after Hussein in Baghdad. Criticized and praised for raising taxes despite pledging not to, because he said it was the right thing to do to bring down the national debt. Also heavily criticized for pardoning defendants in Reagan's Iran-Contra scandal. He might have been involved in the scandal. He's seen as a moderating force, but he's drifted to the right when it was politically convenient. Running for a Senate seat in Texas early on, he criticized the Civil Rights Act, warned of a welfare state. So, you know, give us more of what you would say of that life, and also the sort of the political part of it. He said later, "I regret that I took this far right position in that state, Texas run, to get elected. I hope I never do it again." But then he did in that 1988 campaign against Michael Dukakis.
Yeah, I mean, the good bad lists of presidents when they pass away is always going to be frustrating because there's different elements of any presidency. Especially someone like Bush, who had such a long life in government. Clearly, there were many attributes that we look back to today in positive fashion. His willingness to compromise on the budget deal is one that people are talking about a lot, where he raises taxes even though he essentially causes a revolt from the right. And the way in which he handled the end of the Cold War with restraint and through international alliances is something that was important to a successful transition. But there is the other Bush. And in 1988, even if he regrets it, he did open the door to a new kind of nasty politics via Lee Atwater that even used issues like race in the campaigns that are also part of the path to how we get to where we are today. And the pardon of Iran-Contra as well.
I just want to ask, Lee Atwater famously apologized. He very much regretted the ugly campaigns that he ran. He was a dirty trickster, and at the end of his life to cancer, he said he regretted that. What did Bush ever say that he regretted the Willie Horton ads and the turn that campaign took?
I don't remember specifically the Willie Horton ad, but I did see comments about just the campaign itself and some regret about the nastiness of it. But that's not surprising. Many presidents say things like that. He also worked with President Clinton post-presidency on relief, even though they too had a really bitter 1992 election. And so in part through his actions, through his willingness to work with his rival, I think that was part of how he tried to compensate for the political side of his career. But that doesn't wipe it away. And I think both have to be part of the record.
Well, and just as you see, as an historian, trace some of these decisions and their aftermath, when he did decide to raise taxes because, as he wrote, it would mean a one-term presidency, but it was important to the country. It was the best thing to do for the country. You say that moment might have given birth to a what we're seeing now, a modern era of Republican politics. How so?
Absolutely. It's true that he risked some of his presidency on a budget deal that conservatives hated. Newt Gingrich, who's then the minority whip of the House, literally walks out of the White House meeting furious about what the president had just done and never forgives him. And in 1992, there are many conservatives who are just unenthused about supporting this president. And it fuels people like Newt Gingrich who say you have to remain ideologically pure. You can never compromise with the opposition. And that's a lot of the mentality that we still have today. So it was really costly both to him and, you can argue, to American politics more broadly, even though it was probably the right decision and what was needed for the health of the economy.
What do you think of his passing now, especially with the current presidency and the questions about it and the questions about the language that the current president uses? Here, you know, we have H.W. Bush, who not just befriended Bill Clinton. Barbara Bush said Bill Clinton found in George H.W. Bush the father he never had. You know, there's love, actually. Bush requested that President Trump and the First Lady be at his service. Your thoughts on that moment, given how Trump was not at, Barbara Bush's funeral or John McCain's?
It's an incredibly fraught moment, obviously. It's hard really to imagine what this is all going to look like and sound like. And I think whatever you think of President Bush and his record, most would agree he did believe in government and the institutions of governance. So my guess is in some ways this would fulfill what he would want, only in that he would not want to disrespect the presidency at the time of his passing. But I do think there was no love lost for President Bush. And I think a lot of the way that President Trump conducts himself is really antithetical to what Bush believed in.
It'll be some stark relief. Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, thanks.
Thanks for having me.